Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer turned The Wizard of Oz into a screen classic, and a lovely little singer into a star. One of the most talented stars of Hollywood, Judy Garland.
Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where
Hey, Judy fans, this is Mindy. Thanks for listening to another episode of Old Time Radio. Next up in our series featuring Judy Garland is her appearance on The Bing Crosby Show. This one was March 21st, 1951. It is appearance 3 in a 4-show series that Bing had her on. And just at the end of the one before would say, she would say, "Who's your guest next week?" And he's like, "How about you?" And she's like, "Great, sounds great." So, yeah, like I said, we got 4 here. This is number 3. And this one has Les Paul and Mary Ford. Now, I knew who Les Paul was long before I started listening to old-time radio. I really had never heard of Mary Ford. It probably in passing, and it just didn't register as anything in my brain. But, man, this woman's voice is just enchanting. I was stopped cold in my tracks listening to it. I absolutely love her voice. And they sing a couple of songs, but they sing How High the Moon. And what an inventive, creative song. I am going to have that as part of my probably music rotation when I run kind of deal, because it's just fascinating. It sounds so interesting. They did a lot of creative techniques to kind of dub her voice several times on top of itself. And of course, Bing makes jokes about this because it's all very technically advanced and just sounds fantastic. And that particular song, How High the Moon, was 9 weeks at number 1. And when Les Paul and Mary Ford teamed up in the early 50s, it was pretty much revolutionary, very successful. And in 1951, the year that we're listening to here, they had more top 10 hits than Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, and the Andrews Sisters combined. That's a pretty big accomplishment. So really settle back, enjoy, push rewind 15 times. And yeah, Les Paul and Mary Ford. What a nice, unexpected for me treat to listen to. And this is the episode where we get that line that Judy is kind of famous for. Judy fans pretty much know it well. It's where she's pretty much joking about being fired by MGM, and she just quips, "Leo the Lion bit me." And then they start joking about her being fired from Royal Wedding, and it was a movie with Fred Astaire, and she was replaced. And, you know, I've been in a pretty toxic work environment. I've been in toxic work relationships. I have been fired from a job from that kind of environment. And I have to say that when you get to the point that you can joke about it in public with everyone who ever knew the situation, you are free and you are happy and things are good. So that was really, knowing that she says that at some point, hearing it in the context of her building up for her concert series, and you can hear her joy and her energy is so great and her singing is perfection, to know that she's that happy that she can be joking about such an awful situation is just heartwarming. And I felt a little camaraderie with her on that one. It's like, sister, I have been there and I have made some jokes. So yeah, this is a really great episode, and I think Bing and Judy, they're all fun. We get so many different variations, types of songs, types of skits, and, you know, the different guest stars, like the Mary Fords and Les Pauls come and go, but you get a good combination of all of those factors in this one, and it becomes something pretty special. I really think this is a great one you're going to enjoy from beginning to end, honestly. So yeah, a very happy and joking and free and exuberant Judy Garland on The Bing Crosby Show from March 21st, 1951.
For you, what every smoker wants, mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste.
Buy Chesterfield, Chesterfield, the one that proves its case. Yes, Chesterfields are milder, milder, plus no aftertaste.
So home, open a pack and give them a sniff.
Then you'll smoke them.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter. Welcome you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield. Produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the Mayors, and Bing's guests, those top recording artists Les Paul and Mary Ford, and Miss Judy Garland. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this being the first day of spring, we bring you a budding young vocalist, Bing Crosby.
Budding?
Yes.
I'm a budding young vocalist.
Yes.
Well, if I'm a budding young vocalist, spring's a little late, so I may not show up at all.
Oh, come on, Bing. Get in the mood.
What mood is this?
Why,
who needs
as the
mood?
Poet says, this is the boyhood of the year, the time when winking Maybuds begin to open their golden eyes.
Ah, yes, Ken. And another poet said, I wonder if the sap is stirring yet. And I do believe you are.
Oh, Bing, you remember this old spring poem? The bee buzzed up in the heat.
Huh?
I am faint for your honey, my sweet. The flower said, take it, my dear, for now is the spring of the year. So come, come, hum. You like that?
A hum. Leave us stash the poetry before the men in the white coats come for us, huh?
You mean the guys from the booby hatch?
I don't mean busboys from the Brown Derby. Let's change the subject before we get
chewed
up.
Oh, I know what I wanted.
Hmm?
I've got something to talk to you about.
What?
It's about the new rocket ship that's practically ready to go to the moon.
I warned you, Ken, about reading those comic books. You're the type that gets carried away by such things.
No,
you know,
no. This is a real rocket.
Really?
A real rocket, Bing. Oh,
mm-hmm.
This terrific thing.
What place?
Scientists actually believe it'll reach the moon.
What's this got to do with me?
Well, it's like this, Bing. This rocket will carry two passengers.
So what?
Well, don't you see? Two passengers. Why, it's a natural. You and Bob Hope should make the first trip.
Well, Hope will go anywhere, but you can count me out.
Ah, but Bing, think of the publicity. Why, I can just see the headlines now. Crosby and Hope zoom to moon.
Zoom to moon,
yes.
Let me ask you something.
What's that?
How are we going to get back?
You can worry about that when you get there. But I want to tell you something, Bing.
What?
This rocket is the latest thing. Really, it is. Oh, what a way to go.
What a way to go is right.
Bing, I just can't understand your lack of imagination, lack of spirit. Why, do you realize if you and Bob make this trip, you'll be the first people to bring Chesterfields to another planet?
Well, that's an interesting prospect, all right, Ken. I don't think you'll ever see the day, though, when Hope and I embark with a rocket load of Chesterfields for the moon. That is, not unless it's in our contract with Chesterfield.
Well, if I were you, I'd check. You may be leaving any moment.
Before I do, I want to burst into a little song here. Our opening selection is recommended by Mr. Tubby Guerin, who put me in the business. It's a bright little thing titled You and Your Beautiful Eyes. And I note that the rhythm airs are gathering around. Listen, kids, now is the spring of the year, so come, come, hum, hum.
Ah, you and your beautiful eyes that tell such beautiful lies. When you start that hocus pocus, mind, things get out of focus. You and the way that you kiss, they'd ought to give you a prize. Maybe you could make a statue come to life just looking at you. You and your beautiful gee, but they're beautiful. You and your beautiful eyes. Kiss, they'd ought to give you a prize. Maybe you could make a statue come to life just looking at you. You and your beautiful G, but the beautiful, you and your beautiful
eyes. Hey, it was very jolly. Hi, Bing and kids.
Me and the kids, thank you, Ken.
Say, Bing, that rocket to the moon thing we were talking about a little while ago fascinates me. I wonder if there really are people up there.
Well, Ken, if there aren't any people there now, there soon will be.
Exploring?
No, hiding from Senator Kefauver, I think. Place will be full of Lannisters. But to get back to Earth, Ken, I think we better give the folks listening in the proof that Chesterfield has what every smoker wants. Mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste.
Right, Bing. And folks, we have the proof of Chesterfield mildness in over 1,000 statements from tobacco growers like Mr. Douglas Crowder of South Hill, Virginia, who writes, "I've been a tobacco grower for 20 years. When I judge tobacco for its mild smoking qualities, I smell it. If it smells milder, I know it will smoke milder. When I apply that same test to cigarettes, I find that Chesterfield is the one that smells milder and smokes milder. That's why I smoke Chesterfields."
And the proof that Chesterfield leaves no unpleasant aftertaste is confirmed by the country's first and only cigarette taste panel.
This group is composed of men and women who've been scientifically trained to be taste testers. Nearly all of them are members of scientific and professional societies, and many of them are authors of technical papers. These are the distinguished men and women who reported, "Chesterfield is the only cigarette in which members of the panel found no unpleasant aftertaste."
And there it is, friends. Proof that Chesterfield has for you what every smoker wants. Mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. Here's a new song. It's comparatively new. I did it a few weeks ago. It seems to have acquired a modicum of popular favor. I hear that sentimental music when I'm holding you tight. I heard it from the moment you came into my sight. Sentimental music coming out of the night, saying you're the one, you're the one. Only when you're near I hear that sentimental music spinning round in my brain, fills the night with echoes of my favorite strain. Just one look at you, there's that haunting refrain, saying you're the one for me. My darling, is it magic? All the music coming from above. Yes, it's magic. The magic of your love. I know that when we're close together, or if we're far apart, funny how that sentimental music will start. Sentimental music, round and round in my heart, saying you're the one. Darling, can't you see you started sentimental music for me? Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present two sensational performers here, Les Paul and Mary Ford. Les is on the guitar, Mary does the vocal. They have some terrific records out, you know, which I'm sure you're all familiar with some of them, Jealous and Tennessee Waltz, Mockingbird Hill, and they got a brand new one just come out called How High the Moon. That's the one they aim to do right now, I think. This is an unusual sound, folks, so don't miss a single note of it, huh?
Still my heart, how high the moon.
Yes, sir, that was Les Paul playing about 12 guitars, Mary Ford singing about 12 voices. That's 24, that's a baker's dozen. Don't ask me how it's done because it has something to do with electronics. That's something I have nothing to do with, electronics. Well, say, Les, how about you and Mary giving us a little sample of Mockingbird Hill now, huh?
Oh, Bing, we'd be glad to, but why don't you join Mary on the vocal?
Me? Uh-huh. You think it'd be all right? Don't you have to plug me in or anything?
No. I'll just run you through the Les Pulverizer and you'll come out sounding like Fred Waring in the Glee Club.
That might be too much. Maybe too big. Too much scope. Besides, I hate to muscle in on Mary like this on her number. That isn't right.
Oh, I'd love to have you, Bing.
How many voices do we do, Mary?
Why don't you do three and I'll do three?
Good. Les will do about 18 guitars. That'll really wrap it up, I hope. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, I think we might dedicate this number to the music operators of America. The jukebox folks, you know, who are now on convention at the Palmer House in Chicago.
Holly Harris in Chicago, Bing.
Leslie, dear boy, this show goes coast to coast.
Well, I'll be darned. We're in the big time, Mary.
Yeah!
When the sun in the morning peeps over the hill and kisses the roses round my windowsill, then my heart fills with gladness when I hear the trill of the birds in the treetops on Mockingbird Hill. Tra-la-la, dee-dee-dee-dee, it gives me a thrill to wake up in the morning to the mockingbird's trill. Tra-la-la, dee-dee-dee-dee, there's peace and goodwill. You're welcome as the flowers of the Mockingbird Hill.
Climbing old Mockingbird Hill. And now, folks, I'd like to present our next guest of the evening. In fact, our guest of many, many evenings. Miss Judy Garland singing a song about the tobacco country, whence cometh those fine Chesterfields. This song is called Carolina in the Morning.
The morning. No one could be sweeter than my sweetie when I meet her in the morning. Where the morning glories twine around the door, whispering pretty stories I want to hear once more. Strolling with my girlie where the dew is pearly early in the morning. Butterflies all flutter up and kiss each little buttercup at dawning. If I had Aladdin's lamp day. I'd make a wish, and here's what I'd say. Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in the morning. Strolling with my girly where the dew is curly in the morning. Butterflies all flutter up and kiss each little buttercup at dawning. Could be finer than to be in Carolina. Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in the
injured at the Palladium. Really injured. That's thrilling. Isn't that a great old song?
Yes.
George, they wrote good songs in those days, didn't they? Strolling with my girlie where the dew was pearly early.
That's really good.
Buttercups all flutter up and kiss each little buttercup. Isn't that a nice thing? Those are honest, simple, sentimental, solid things.
That's
I like that. Yeah.
Well, I don't know, though, Bing. You know, they still write sentimental tunes. I heard a real mushy song the
really?
Other night.
Really? Gushy and everything?
Yeah, it was just dripping sentiment.
What was that?
How could you believe me when I said I loved you when you know I've been a liar all my life?
And then on the other hand, we have if.
Well, I guess that's the long and short of it, all
oh,
right.
Oh, you come up with something then. Say, how could you believe me when I said I loved you when you knew I'd been a liar? That tune doesn't sound sentimental to me.
Now you just got a persecution complex.
Is that it? Maybe so, but it's a great boy and girl number, Judy. Fred Astaire and Jane Powell. They do it real good in that MGM picture, Royal Wedding.
I know, Bing. You know, that song was originally written for me.
Oh, were you going to be in Royal Wedding out at MGM?
Mm-hmm. I was before Leo the Lion bit me.
Well, he's an old lion, Leo. His teeth are all gone.
He sure's got sharp gums.
Say, me not old critter up and gummed you? Well, gone is. Tell you what, Judy, let you and I do How Could You Believe Me, et cetera, viz, i.e., viz, and see footnote, huh? Shall we?
Yeah, you be Harry the heel, and I'll be Judy the Jill.
Oh, that's a couple of characters. Okay, babe.
All right, start it off, heel.
Yeah, I can remember it.
How could you believe me when I said I love you, when you know I've been a liar all my life?
You've had that reputation since you was a youth.
You must have been insane to think I'd tell you the truth.
How could I believe you when you said we'd marry?
Why, you know I'd rather hang than have a wife. I know I said I'd make you mine.
Now wouldn't you know that I would go for that old line?
How could you just believe me when I said I love yous, when you know I've been a liar?
You sure have been a liar.
Oh, a bald-faced liar.
Oh, a double-crossing liar.
Oh, my doggone cheating liar.
You said you would love me long.
Did I say that? I must have been unconscious.
And never would do me wrong.
Say, release the fabric, will you, babe? You're bending my
faithful
best suit.
Faithful you'd always be.
Oh, me?
Why, baby, you must be loony to trust a lower than low two-timer like me.
Pretty low, too, isn't it?
You said I'd have everything.
Dig this chick. You're out of your American
mind. A beautiful diamond ring.
Diamond ring? I haven't a change of a match.
A bungalow by the sea.
Bungalow, yes, you want.
But you're really naive to ever believe a full of baloney phony like me.
Oh, boy, I sure must have lost my head.
You can't lose nothing you ain't never had.
Oh, what about the time you went to Indiana?
I was lying, I was down in Alabama.
You said you had some business you had to complete. Oh,
oh, what I was doing, I would be a cad to repeat.
What about the evenings you was with your mother?
I was romping with another honey lad.
To think you swore our love was real.
Baby, leave us not, forget I'm such a heel.
How could I believe you when you said you loved me?
When you know I've been a liar.
A good for nothing liar.
Oh my
good, good for nothing liar.
Well, if you don't want to get married, we could at least get engaged.
I don't want to go steady.
How do you mean you don't want to go steady? You haven't missed a meal in my house in 6 years.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now listen, Harry the Heel. Why don't we try being engaged? And if at the end of 3 months you don't like it, I'll call off the engagement. I'll leave you.
Okay, so we're engaged.
Well, now we're engaged. And I'll have to have a beautiful diamond ring.
A beautiful diamond ring? Oh, honey, won't an Elgin American compact do?
No. I don't think I'm an American, but I want a ring.
Okay.
And just to make things look good, I think we should buy a lot in case we ever want to build a bungalow by the sea.
Judy, gee, that's where I first met you. Down at the beach. The grunion we're running, I caught you in a bucket.
Yeah. I'll never forget that night.
Remember all those drive-in restaurants we went to?
Yeah. We drove through everyone in town and then went to my house for chow.
Gee, I'll never forget our first kiss in front of the gas stove in your kitchen. You really jumped.
Yeah, I backed into the pilot lock. Oh. Now I'll need some more money for a trousseau.
We don't need no fancy foreign car. We can drive your old man's Essex.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to announce a passage of time. 3 months later.
Well, that's it. Aloha. Finish. I've had enough. Our engagement is off, Judy.
Oh, yeah? Wait a minute, Buster. Not so fast.
Come on. Give me the diamond ring. Come on.
By an odd coincidence, you ain't getting nothing back.
Yeah. I can't understand how I ever got trapped like this. I believed in you. I even believed you when you said you'd leave me.
You did?
Yes.
How could you believe me when I said I'd leave you when you know I've been a liar all my life?
Well, you had that reputation since you was a youth.
You must have been insane to think I'd tell you the truth.
Oh, how could I believe you when you said you'd leave me?
Well, you know I'd rather hang than let you go. You know I said I'd set you free.
Now who'd have thunk this dame would make a sap out of me?
How could you believe me when I said I'd leave you when you know I've been a liar?
Oh, you sure have been a liar.
A double-crossing liar.
Big double-crossing liar.
Oh, my doggone no good, good for nothing.
Bing and Judy, simply terrific. Oh, Judy, while you're here, did you know that Chesterfield has the world's newest and most modern cigarette factories?
Well,
and did you know Chesterfield has the world's newest and most modern tobacco research laboratory?
Yes, I certainly...
The best in industry, the best in science, to make what we honestly believe is the best cigarette for you and every smoker.
Well,
just take our factory in Durham, North Carolina. It's as up-to-date as my lady's new Easter bonnet. And clean? Why, it's clean as a whistle.
And air-conditioned straight through. Yes, the weather in the factory is controlled so that every single Chesterfield will be the same, always fresh and perfect wherever you buy it.
Look, fellas...
And that new research lab, I tell you, there's nothing like it in existence. That's the place where scientists are always checking to make sure that Chesterfield is the best cigarette any smoker can buy.
And they say us girls are gabby. What you boys are trying to say is this. Remember how they're made, and you'll always buy Chesterfield.
Oh, you're so right, Judy. Chesterfield has what every smoker wants. Mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. So always...
Buy Chesterfield, Chesterfield, the one that proves its case. Yes, Chesterfields are milder, milder, plus no aftertaste.
So ho, open a pack and give them a sniff.
Then you'll smoke them.
Okay, John, roll it. Peggy Lee sold me a song the last time she was on the show. At least she sang it so beautifully, I just had to have a go at it.
Oh, for just the chance to love you, would I love you, love you, love you, to take you in my arms has always been my goal. Sure as there's a moon above you, would I love you, love you, love you, with all my heart and soul, with all my heart and soul. You ask me, would I love you if you let me? Eyes that see, eyes that know. Would I love you? What a question, when I'm yearning so over just the chance to love you. Would I love you, love you, love you, to take you in my arms has always been my goal. Sure as there's a moon above you, would I love you, love you, love you, with all my heart and soul, with all my heart and soul.
Yes, sir, that is it for tonight. That represents the sum and substance of our effort tonight. My thanks to Les Paul, Mary Ford, and to Judy Garland for joining with us this evening.
Well, who's going to be with you next week, Bing?
I thought you might come back again next week, Judith.
Well, that's very nice.
Well, I think so. I think it'd be jolly. So we see you next week, Judy, huh? And thanks, folks. Good night. See you next week for Chesterfield, the best cigarette for years to smoke.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guest, Miss Judy Garland.